This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Allah said, no, you are not a Muslim, you are Muslim. So you can see really what Iman is related to Ibrahim alayhi salam and all these prophets and messengers, they are Muslim. They have Iman. So what did they exactly have? In this world, when people have, existence, very often people live in the group. And the group actually makes them stronger. Being together makes them stronger. Then people feel a need to distinguish one group from the other. All the time keep happening. And if I'm part of a group, necessarily I will, associate myself with that group. And the values of the group, they become my identity. It could be possible that those values don't make sense. But since I belong to the group, this belonging is my need. I cannot leave identity of the group just because it does not make sense. The reason I believe in those identities is because it helps me to be part of the group. It could be that I believe it's a useless thing, but still I belong to that. Like for example, one of the Arab poets said, hal ana illa min ghaziyata in ghabat. Ghawaitu wa in tarshud ghaziyatu arshudi. He belongs to a tribe, ghaziyya. He also knows ghaziyya tribe, sometimes right, sometimes wrong. So the right way should be, if my tribe is right, I'll support them. If they are wrong, I'll not support them. I will actually stop them from being wrong. Like the Prophet said, unsur akhaka zaliman aw mazluman. Help your brother whether he's zalim or mazlum. That was same thing said by Arab people in Jahiliyyah. Meaning was, if you are part of a tribe and your brother is zalim, still help him because it's part of your identity, belonging. And if he's mazlum, still help him. So the Prophet used the same thing. The people become surprised how the Prophet can teach people something which is from Jahiliyyah. But the Prophet changed the meaning. He said, helping your brother as zalim means to stop him from zulm. So he changed the meaning. So this poet said, "Hal ana illa min ghaziyata in ghabat, ghawaitu wa in tarshud ghaziyatu arshudi." I am from ghaziyya. If ghaziyya is misled, I'll misled. If they are right, I will be right. Meaning I have to always be associate myself with them. It doesn't matter whether they're right or wrong. Because this is not my concern. My concern is to support my tribe. So this one way, this how groups exist in this world. Existence of the group basically is that you belong to the group and the values of the group becomes your identity. You don't necessarily need to believe in the values, whether they're right or wrong. No, you just need to associate yourself with the group and you stand for the values. Maybe you think values are useless, still you have to associate. So if I am British, I will eat with the left hand. It could be that if you ask me, I'll tell. It doesn't make any sense really, and I don't have any argument. But I eat because, this identity of British people, and I'm British, I eat with the left hand. I drive my car left side. If you ask me why you're driving left side, why not right? So I said, because I live in this country, and in this country, that how laws are, how people follow, so I drive left. But I'll say, yeah, certainly it doesn't make any sense. Naturally, I feel to be more on right rather than left. So you can see, I don't believe in this value, but what happens is I associate myself because I'm part of a nation, part of a community, so I do things like that. When the light is red on traffic, I stop my car, and when green, I move. You can say really, why you do like that? It should be the other way. When it is red, then people should move the car. When it is green, they should stop. I say, yeah, what you say more sense, but that's how people do here. I follow what people do. So you can see, when you're part of a group, what matters is to associate yourself with the group. It doesn't matter to you whether you believe in that being right or wrong. You're associating yourself with the group, that is main purpose. It's happening all the time, everywhere. This association with the group is very, very common. It's very, very deep thing, very dominant all over the world. People always love to be in a group and they love their identity. For example, people in Afghanistan, the Muslims, this also helped me to understand Iman Islam more. So once I was in a Middle Eastern country, I met an Afghan who was in the prison. So I asked him, in a big beard, Haji and all Alim, good. So I said to him, why you are in the prison? Anyway, long story. Then he said he wants to go to Afghanistan. So I said, why you go to Afghanistan? He said, I want to go and take a revenge. Somebody has killed somebody from my family, so now I have to kill that person. So I said to him, but you should not do this. You could take to the court. He said, no. You know, we are part of a group. If I don't take revenge, then all the families around us, they will keep reminding our women that your men still have not taken revenge. It is part of the culture. I must take it. So the reason he wants to kill someone, not because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded or messenger has commanded or there is belief. It is basically he's a part of a group. And group belong is so strong, he can't live in that group without doing this thing. Sometimes it could be possible that a person does not think killing is good. But the reason he kills is because he belongs to a group. So this thing, always understand. In Islam, what happens is there was no group identity for a long time. Until the war started between Ali and Muawiyah, and things, then after they become much more. Then people became divided into groups. So you have to distinguish one group from the other. So these groups, they got their own identity, their own belonging. So Khawarij, for example, at that time were a group who did not associate themselves either with Ali or Muawiyah, separate group, independent, and declared that both are kafir. Now if you are a Khariji, living with the Khariji people in the same group, these are the basic things you have to believe. You have to believe that Muawiyah and Ali both are kafir. That's what you need to believe. You believe that declaration of the war against them is obligatory. You must fight them. Some people associate themselves with Ali, Shi'atu Aliyin. Their belief becomes something else. Then later on, more and more groups happen in Islam. Some groups came as a result of some political problem, like Shia and Khawari, they're more political groups. Some groups came in Islam as a result of theology, thinking, philosophy, and all those things. So like Qadariya, Jabariya, in all these groups, they came from thinking. Each group, when they started their own teaching, so they have few things that they emphasize, because those are the points which make them distinguish from the rest of believers. It could be possible, those points are not very important, but they are their identity. So those identities become important. Now if you are part of the group, those identities matter to you. You may say, you have to say that I believe in this identity, because you have to declare, people, how you associate yourself, you have to declare that I believe in these identities. Later on, when people ministry Islam, they realize there are so many groups, everybody asks them, which group do you follow? So, we don't have any group. We just follow the way of companions and the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Ministry, we don't have any group. We are not deviated. But it's not enough, really. Then you need to tell people what is the identity of this group who does not follow any group. So meaning is basically identity of the non-sectarian people. So there are so many sects, we need also to know, so then we know who are you. So identity of non-sectarian people. So then people like Imam Tahawi and all these people, they wrote their own Aqidah, Aqidah Tahawiyya. That basically is a Aqidah of non-sectarian people. If you want to know who we are, these are our identity. We wipe our socks, we do this, we do this. So this is how you recognize us, that we distinguish from the rest of the people. Because Shia people, they don't wipe over the socks, they wipe over the feet. So the few things which can make very clear this group is different. Group identities always have been very important, all the time. Group identities help many things. I'm not against the group identity. They help a lot. There are many, many problems with group identity, but there are some good things about group identity. Also, in group identity, your basic concern is that you are accountable to your group. Your group should not abandon you. You have to make sure that your group accepts you. They're happy with you. You don't want to do anything whether your group can reject, because it's a big thing. That's why you can see when somebody boycott a certain family, they can't live, they can't survive. If you leave a group and the people abandoned you, you basically killed, finished. You don't exist anymore, because everything run by the group. The group identity is very, very important, for many people. And that how the nationalism works. When people say nation, like British nation, French people, Spanish people, all these are based on group identity. There are certain things which make somebody Spanish. There are certain things which make someone French. Certain things which make somebody Indian. It's a group identity. Most religions, actually nearly every religion, when they start with something else. But later on, they become also like a nation, like a group. What they start with is hidden. We don't know. They need to develop our identity so people know you are Christian, you are Jew, you are Hindu, you are Muslim. People need to know those things. They develop. Since the people identify you your religion, with those identities, you know, with those symbols, those symbols become main thing. So everybody focus on that, and people write book of Aqidah and all those things. In the group identity, you actually basically, what happens is this association, and also those things which are identity, they are the most important thing. If you reject any of them, you are no more part of the group. And if you reject all of them, you are not. So that how it becomes part of the group or not. So when people start using the same language for the group, being part of the group and leaving the group, same language which started for their faith in the beginning. It becomes same language. So if you leave the group, you are kafir. You accept to be part of the group, you are mu'min. You believe in. So basically now iman and kufr, which is started in relation to Allah. Iman and kufr, they are basically a relation between you and your Lord. Aqeedah is a relation between you and your group. Try to understand properly. Aqeedah is basically group belonging. So people apply those terms now to Aqeedah. So now for example, if I am a Deobandi, so if I reject some certain main part of Aqeedah of Deoband, so they will say kafir. If I accept them, I become Deobandi. So this is how group identity starts. One important thing I mentioned is a group identity. A group identity does not require you to be mu'min. You could be in a group even if you are a hypocrite, even if you don't believe anything. I mentioned, like for example, I'm British, so I eat with the left hand. But if you ask me, I said, no, it doesn't make any sense. But I live with these people, so I eat with the left hand. Traffic rule here is to drive the car on the left side. I do that because I'm part of a group. I can't, rebel, but though I don't believe in these things, it's a useless thing. Like for example, there are certain communists in India. Communism now has become very, very weak now, but in India, in 1960s and those times, the communism was very, very strong, especially among the intellectual people in the universities, great poets, they all used to be communists. One of the things they used to do is don't believe in religion. But all these Muslim communists, even one of my uncle, he was Pardhan, all those things of the village, he was a communist. So all these communist people don't believe in religion, but they are part of the community. So like either prayer they will do together, sometime actually in public they will observe the fasting of Ramadan. So, and they celebrate Eid prayer and all those things. If you ask them, why you celebrate Eid when you don't believe in anything? They say, no, we are Muslim, it is Muslim celebration, we are same group, same people. So you can see somebody is a kafir, does not believe anything, but still he have aqeedah. He still have group belonging. This thing actually, what happens since iman, its meaning become disappeared, aqeedah took the place of iman. So people assume really, aqeedah means to believe. That actually assumption came. Aqeedah basically is like any group identity, which anyway, Jewish people have their aqeedah, Christians have their aqeedah, everybody who has a belonging, they have aqeedah. Aqeedah basically means set of certain identity, you can set of the words, to declare that these are the words my group actually follow. These are the words your group follow. So you have your aqeedah, I've got my aqeedah. It does not necessarily mean that I believe in those aqeedah. It could be, I think, all lies really. But since I'm part of the group, is it clear to everybody? Aqeedah, basically, I want to make it very clear to you, and go and think, because it is very difficult for people to understand actually so quickly, because all the time people are learning aqeedah means iman. So to make a difference is not very easy. Aqeedah basically is a group identity. Aqeedah is to express your belonging, that I belong to this group, I belong to Deoband, I belong to Bareilly school, I belong to Salafi people, I belong to this thing. That's what Aqeedah is. Aqeedah does not do anything more than that. It's just expression of your belonging. People can fight for that as well. People don't fight, people fight on nationalism. They sacrifice their life. It does not mean they have iman. People always misunderstand. Fighting for Aqeedah does not mean people can fight for hypocrisy. People can be hypocrite and they still can fight. And the Prophet has said, actually, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala supports this religion by the fasiq people. People who have no iman. So this one thing I wanted to make clear to you what Aqeedah means. Aqeedah has nothing to do between you and your Lord. It does, but when iman is there. Aqeedah can exist without iman. I'm trying to say Aqeedah is independent of iman. Aqeedah is just a group belonging. It is just identity of certain group. Aqeedah always comes in the relation of group. If there's no group, there is no aqidah. For example, if there's only one person who has a certain belief, then he has no aqidah. Then no aqidah always comes in relation of to a group. Problem actually happens is, since we are grown up in the groups, so whenever we read the word iman in the Quran, sunnah, we think this what means. It means aqidah. All the time people are thinking. It really, the difference between both of them is so huge, you cannot imagine really. It is so huge. Iman is your entry into paradise, when aqidah is not your entry into paradise. You know, just try to, you know, having iman makes you wali of Allah. If you have iman, you become among the awliya of Allah. If you have aqidah, then no wilaya. If you have iman, you become Hezbollah, party of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now you do, to become a Hezbollah, you need to be associated with a part group. You say, if I name my party Hezbollah, to, you just belong to that party. You say, okay, yeah, I also become a member of your party. Now you are also Hezbollah. But to be a Hezbollah, really, you need something else. It's another thing, another level. This is what many people don't understand. People think, really, if I associate myself to someone, I become a believer. This is not right. You know, it could be possible that you associate yourself with Hasan Basri, Abu Hanifa, Malik, Shafi'i, Ahmad Hanbal, even a Sahabi, still you are hypocrite, munafiq, no iman. Association never means in iman. Association completely different matter. People in the real life always need to make association. When people like Imam Tahawi and all those people, they wrote aqidah, they never meant to provide to you a substitute for iman. No, they only wrote to identify your group. Because there are so many groups, so you are this group, which actually is not sectarian, for example. So they wanted to give you the identity of non-sectarian sect, non-sectarian group. That the purpose was not that by reading this book you become mu'min. That's not, this purpose was that you know really which group you follow. Abu Hanifa Rahmullah said, when I came to Atai Nabi Rabah in Makkah to learn from him, so in those days, because there's so many sectarianism, and especially it's coming from Kufa, so Ata asked him, where are you coming from? So he said, I'm coming from Kufa. So he said, oh, you are from the city which have divided the people and make Allah's religion, you know, disunited. So Abu Hanifa Rahman said, yes, I'm from that city. So you know, he knows. So then he said, from which group you belong in this? So Abu Hanifa said, I'm from those people, la yasubbu salaf, they don't abuse salaf. You know, few things he made, so it became very clear he's not a Khariji and he's not a Shia. Because there was no third group, mainstream group did not have a name. So he has to say, I am not this, I am not this, I am not this. When he said this, then Ata said, oh, you know the falzam beyond this. This is the right path. So you see, it does not mean Abu Hanifa is mu'min. Abu Hanifa is mu'min, I don't have doubt. But this, Abu, you know, Ata is not going to test his iman. Ata just wants to know really, in Kufa there are so many groups, which group he belongs. That's all. Not testing his iman, Allah knows, nobody else can know. This thing actually misunderstood by the people so much, I think, really. You know, later on, like any religion, you know, group identity became very, very important. Christians have group identity, Jews used to have group identity, and until now, really, there are many groups in Jews, and each group has their own identity. You know, we think Jews are like one people. No, they're not one people. There are many, many groups, and each group has its own identity. Like Christians, many of you know how Christians are so many groups. Each group has its own identity. Same Muslims have many, many groups. Each group has its own identity. This identity we call aqidah. This is just belong to the group. This aqidah has nothing to do with iman. Nothing at all, really. I mentioned really, it could be possible, at least possible, it happened really, that people have aqidah but no iman. Aqidah and nifaq, they can be together. Aqidah and kufr can be together. People could be kafir and they have aqidah. People could be Deobandi and they're kafir. People could be Deobandi and they're munafiq. People could be Salafi and they're munafiq. It is just association to a certain group. It nothing to do with your iman. Then what iman is? This actually what Alhamdulillah I've been thinking really. I really want to teach people from the depth that I, Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala has helped me to know. And I think it could be possible that it doesn't become clear very quickly, but go and think about this matter. Iman really is a very, very big thing. There is nothing equal to iman. You know, iman is much more powerful, is much more strong than mountains. You know, nothing in mountains can be shaken, but iman cannot be shaken. Iman is such amazing thing. Iman when it comes, then people like 6-7 peoples, you know, like Ashab al-Kahf, the whole empire, the state against them. They want to kill them. They want to punish them. But these 6-7 people, they accept everything, but nobody can move them. It's impossible for them. Iman comes to people like Ibrahim, somebody like Ibrahim. The whole nation against him. The one person is standing. You know, his Iman is so strong. Iman can. Aqeedah is not like that. Aqeedah easily can be changed by another Aqeedah, like a culture. You know, I belong to group, I need a group identity. But somehow I realize, really, I'm going to move to another place, and there are more Ashari people. It doesn't make any sense to be Salafi there. I'm now Ashari. You know, I make a new group identity. You know, I live among the Deobandi people. All the time, you know, they think, you know, always they, you know, make me distinct, you know, discrimination against me. Okay, I'm Deobandi now, from now on. So you can, you know, because, you know, it's all just an identity. I used to eat with the right hand, but now in my office, everybody eats with the left hand. It doesn't make a sense really to differ from the people eating, because right or left is both are same thing anyway. So I used to have that culture, but now I'm with other people, different culture, I eat with the left hand. So these Aqeedah business, they can change, because there's nothing in the heart. It all belonging. Belonging can change. You know, I used to be in India, and I used to associate myself with homeopathy, because in the Madrasatul Ulama, everybody loves homeopathy, to homeopathic doctors and this and that, and we always pray the homeopathic, we support them and this and that. I came to this country, it doesn't make any sense now to follow the same, now here different medical system, this is more powerful. So I now changed my madhab. I became, you know, in new madhab now, so I changed madhab now, no more in homeopathy. So, you know, this happened. Lucknow people always follow Hakim, you know, Yunani Hakim, you know, Greek, or is Arab medicine. Many people. But same people, when they go somewhere else, with no Yunani Hakim, they change. Because it doesn't make any sense to be part of that. Iman is not like that. When you have Iman, even if you have millions of people with you, same Iman. When you go somewhere else, millions of people against you, or you alone, it's still same Iman. It does not change. So then what Iman really is? That's what we need to understand. What Iman is so good, really? Why Quran scheme emphasizes on Iman so much? Yeah. So first thing I wanted to make clear, never mix between Iman and Aqeedah. Aqeedah has nothing to do. Actually, people don't understand what Aqeedah means. When you say A'taqidu, you know what it means? What A'taqidu means? A'taqidu means Uminu. A'taqidu means, A'taqidu basically means, attabi'u hadhi nadhariya. This is, I follow this ideology. That A'taqidu means, I got this ideology. Ideologies are always subject to change. Ideologies are result of human thinking, which can change. Ideologies are never not revealed. Ideologies don't mean revelation. Ideology from idea. It's a human idea. The ideologies can change. They can develop. They can evolve. Yet, Aqeedah basically, maybe another translation of Aqeedah could be ideology. You know, this some ideas people get. Iman is something. What Iman really is? Iman is a very noble thing. Iman really is the real purpose of the existence of humanity on the face of the earth. That's what they have to understand. Everything else is secondarily. It's a real thing. What Iman is? Iman is to use your mind properly. You know, not being influenced by any culture, any custom, any tradition, you know, anything. Iman means to purify yourself and clean yourself from all the belonging and all the culture and all the custom and all tradition and think freshly. Ibrahim is born in a community where the people have got certain culture thinking. He was able to free himself from that culture, from that identity, from that group belonging, and become above that. Iman starts and remains all the time with the thinking. It always tested by thinking. Iman never can be wrong. Iman always has to be true. And Iman must be, you know, based on the result of proper, pure thinking. Iman can't be just following someone blindly. Iman never comes. Iman never comes from following. You know, you don't become mu'min because you are born in a mu'min family. But you can become Deobandi because you are born in Deobandi family. Maybe you never know what Deobandi means. Never. My father, you know, studied in Deoband. He is Deobandi. I am his son. I am also Deobandi. But do you know what Deobandi means? No. Do you know how Deobandi differs from others? I don't know, but I am Deobandi. So you can be a Deobandi without any knowledge, without anything knowing, without any belief. That's not Iman. Iman you cannot inherit. Aqeedah can be inherited. When people say 90% Muslims are Ashari, so I always ask them, 90% Muslims even don't know what Ashari means. So they're still Ashari. You know, who know the whole, you know, if you come to my village and you say all Ashari, ask them, are you Ashari? They say, we never heard this word before. They never know what Ashari means. Actually, if you ask them, are you Hanafi? They will say, we never know what we are. Because all people are Hanafi, so they even know, don't know what Hanafi means. They never heard this word anyway. In my village, except ulama, common people, they don't know really whether Hanafi or Maliki, because they never knew this thing, that Hanafi or Maliki. That just only thing they know, they're Muslim. So even they don't know. So now people say 90% Muslims are Ashari. You know what it means? Because they assume really, because you belong to a group. So whether you know you belong to this group identity, you still are from some group. That it tells you really that no, you know, being a group does not mean, Aqidah does not mean anything to know. Aqidah does not mean that you know anything. Iman is not like that. You can't become mu'min. You can't say 90% Muslim world is mu'min. You can't say like that. People don't know really Iman. Is it clear to everybody? People can be Hanafi by birth. People can be Shafi by birth. People can be Ashari by birth. Salafi can be by birth. By region, so people in Saudi Arabia are Salafi for that, you can make, or people in Makkah, they are this group. Iman never comes like that. It could be possible that all the families of Kafir and one person is Mu'min. It could be possible all the people are Mu'min, but one person is Kafir. Iman, it does not have to be association, any association. Your Iman, and your father's Iman is his Iman. It never can be inherited, never can be associated to each other. I can't say you are Mu'min because your father is Mu'min. This argument never works. But I can say you are Ashari because your father is Ashari. This argument works. That's how people say 90% Muslim Ummah is Ashari. Though actually I don't think it's true. You know, even that the way they think. But why they say this? Reason is because they think everybody has group. And groups basically are mostly led by Ashari people. Everybody is Ashari. Is it clear? So then exactly what Iman starts from. Iman, if you look in the Quran, Iman is thinking. If it's not thinking, then it's not Iman. It could be some people be on a pure fitra. Pure fitra does not mean Iman. So for example, what happens is you are born, you are a noble person. And you think really that, I must have been created by someone, by made someone. I did not make myself. Love your mother, you thank your mother, you want to be nice to the people. But at the same time, you don't think much, though your heart is very pure, on pure fitra, you speak truth and you do this thing. But because I belong to, Christian family, so I follow their way of life, I don't use much. So this person, he is very good actually. If you stay with this person, he thinks nothing wrong with this person. He's so nice, he speaks truth, he's honest, he helps everybody. When people get pain, he becomes sacrificed. He has his own pain. He loves everybody, he sacrifices all the interest for the sake of the people. Everything is good for him. Still he's not a believer. Because he did not use his mind. What he has his nature, he did not allow the nature to be corrupted, that's fine. But he did not develop the nature. By thinking. Thinking makes nature more firm and then it purifies and cleans furthermore. If thinking is not there, still people can be good, but they are not believer. So if this being good does not mean they're believer. Good, and good does not mean they go to paradise. Paradise only depends on thinking. If people don't think, there's no paradise. Then Iman only can come. If these people are born on a true nature, but they never developed it, never thought, and they do think naturally something, this Allah has done. This part of the Rububiyyah. Nothing do what you did actually, just purif- did not allow corruption to nature. Some people actually are, certain were raised, but he did not make any effort to make it better. Is it clear to everybody? So Iman is not nature. Iman is more than that. Like Ibrahim al-Islam, naturally he is a pure person. He can think, but then he used the mind. He used the mind in the response of the nature. When you use the mind in response of the nature, then actually you get the Iman. That Quran, this using the mind in response to nature is called Rushd or Rashad. So you basically, you are Rashid now. You think the way you are born, your natural way. You think. When you start thinking like that, then you discover the real truth of the universe. Real truth of the universe, actually, there is no truth above that. That actually is, this universe only exists with one command, and Allah's command. Then you start seeing that really, and Alhamdulillah, maybe I'm not a very good believer, but this thing has become very clear to my mind really, that all the creation and all the command, relation between creation is just Allah's command. I really believe that knife does not cut. What cutting is the command of Allah. It is just, this you see really. It's Allah's command which makes something cut. It's not the knife cuts. So knife and cutting the knife, both are just depending on a command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It all the universe, You know, if you see really how the earth is hanging in this space and how the you know, floating all these space things, they all come out of Allah. They never even miss 1 second and 1 moment. You know, this, you know, things moving such with such high speed in the holy, in space, stars and moon and sun, earth, everything moving such high speed, even cannot miss only 1 second. Part of 100, part of any second, they can't anything miss. And they all actually function properly, in proper harmony. Just a command of Allah. It is a command making them hanging. The way I just behave, it all command, just one command in this world. If you go deep really, my existence really, you know, I think I see with my eye. No, I do not see. I cannot, how can I see? It is a command by God to the eye, it is sees. Mind cannot think. It is a command. The whole universe basically just depending on Allah's command. It is Allah exists, everything on His command. Creation is dependent on Him. He is the Samad. So He is one, Ahad, and then everything is basically on Him. So He is Ahad and Samad both. Meaning is, things don't have their own independent existence. There is no independence in the things. It all dependence. So first thing you learn actually is Ahad. Allah is independent. Second thing you learn is Samad. Everything depends on Him. That what Surah Qul Huwallahu Ahad is the best surah for Tawheed, because it actually brings both aspects very clearly. The oneness of Allah and then otherness of Allah. That, you know, every single thing depends on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, is complete and everything depends on Him. This thing actually becomes very, very clear. When you start thinking like that, the next point to come to your mind really is, I have no choice but to love Him and worship and obey Him. Because He is, I exist only because of Him. And my survival depends on Him. You know, I was not there without Him. And when I am here, I still depend on Him 100%. This is, when people use the mind, it becomes more and more clear. You know, and then not right, and then all the curtains from your eyes are removed. Curtains are ignorance, curtains are ghafla, curtains are, you know, so many things, you know, curtains are also knowledge. You learn wrong thing, it also creates a curtain. Like science, philosophy, they create a curtain between you and reality. This reality, when it becomes very clear, then Iman starts coming really. But still Iman, not, Iman will be, when you get a clear understanding, then you make firm, you know, move from your heart, from my mind. Okay, now I understand the reality. I'm going to believe in that reality. You know, it could be possible you understand, but you don't believe. It's possible. People believe and understand many things, but still don't believe. People know really, you are more right. You know, Pakistan is more right, but I always support Indian team. I'm Indian. So I know you are right, but still I support. So you can see, knowledge does not mean I believe. That was many aqidah, because they don't understand what Iman means really. People need one more, knowledge is very important, but people need one more step. Then be noble. If you know, then believe in it. If you know I'm right, then support me. Then support, don't support those who are wrong because they're your friend, your brothers. Support me. This is what will next step. Then I believe really, if Allah is my Lord, He is the creator, He is the master, He is the sustainer, and all the universe depend on Him, I must believe in Him. Meaning is, I must believe in Him that He is Ma'bud. He must be worshipped. Believe in Him that He is a creator is not Iman. That was your understanding of the universe. You know, Iman starts when, because of the He being creator, you believe that and you have to obey Him and worship and love Him. That's what Iman means. So people also mix this thing really. That with Tawheed of Sufi people is wrong really. As Tawheed of Mutakallimin is wrong, Tawheed of Sufi people is wrong. Because Tawheed of Sufi people is Tawheed of Rububiyya. Wal wahdatul wujud, wahdatul wujud and wahdatul tashhud or rububiyya, nothing to do with Iman. Iman is one level ahead of that. Without that, Iman never can come. Iman is not that to believe Allah is the creator, no. That is your understanding of the universe. First argument. But this argument is for a purpose. Allah SWT used Tawheed al-Rububiyya for another purpose. So this thing, knowing Allah is the creator, Allah is the master, Allah is the sustainer, it is sound knowledge. This sound knowledge is very, very important. Because the knowledge is correct, nothing can be. This sound knowledge, people must get it. And this comes from your mind. Your mind gets this knowledge. Once you get this knowledge, then your mind makes very obligatory in your mind, if He is the one who does everything. It doesn't make any sense to listen to His enemies. It doesn't make any sense to obey someone else. Because He is the one who goes. If He is the one who has power, then I want power, it is from Him. He is the one who has got Izzah. If I want Izzah, I have to come to Him. If He is the one who has Dillah, humiliation, I have to come to him, ask him to remove the humiliation. If everything he has, doesn't make sense to go anywhere else. Then next step becomes, you must obey him, must love him, must have loyalty with him, must worship him. That becomes so obligatory. And then you don't feel lazy. For example, when I love actually my mother, and think she is the one actually who I am born, and since then she has been looking after me and in sacrificing herself and everything for me. You know, when she says to me in the middle of the night, oh, my son, you know, can you go somewhere outside, bring something for me? I'm so happy, so lovely. At least I do something for my mother. But if you ask me to go in bed, I said, no, who are you? You know, I'm sleeping, you know, ask me in the morning. If I have a good mood, I can help you, but I don't feel any need to help you. This will be my answer. But for my mother, no answer will be different. Tell me what the difference is. Because for my mother, I know exactly what she has done for me. And if I'm a noble person, that what she has done for me makes obligatory in my mind, I must obey her. What Allah has done for me and for every single person really, billion, billion times more than the mothers. Mothers even don't know what you need really. Sometime I have a pain, my mother does not know, but Allah knows. You know, sometime actually, you know, everybody in all the things. This what Iman really is. Iman is nobility. Iman is a result of noble nature to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Iman comes as the result of sound knowledge. You know sound properly, that Iman comes. This Iman, when it comes really, it's impossible to Iman and you don't get a further prayer. It will be very weak Iman really. If you know who your Lord is and he will become happy because you pray, it will be very bad to think Iman regularly, you don't want to make him happy. The smallest thing, and even when you pray with the energy and with the faculty that he has given, with the mind that he gave, nothing else. You know, this actually one thing make me active. Though I've mentioned so many times I'm not so pious person. The one thing makes me active is in the Fajr time, very often in the summer, I also feel very lazy. But only thing make me to jump from the bed is, you know, Allah asked me one thing, he's done million things for me, and he's going to do more, I'm going to ask him. You know, I feel shyness to ask him, and I can't get up. So this, you know, makes move. Iman actually makes amal to happen. If people think there's no connection between Iman and amal, they think then Iman means aqidah. Aqidah has nothing to do with amal. If I associate myself to a group, I can believe in the identity of the group, but I'm not going to do anything. You know, I know there are stupid people, but I remember once somebody in Oxford, he's a Muslim. There was some Islamic school problem in the British government against them. So he said to me, I'm going to support all these Muslim schools. Because you know, I'm Muslim, I support them and I'm going to write really in the support of these, you know, they should exist and there. But I never going to admit my children in any of these Islamic schools because I don't believe they are good schools. They're very bad schools, I don't. But the reason I'm supporting because they're Muslim, Islamic, I should must support. That can happen. Iman can never come like that. It could be possible that you support a Muslim school, but you don't believe if they're right. Like in India, whenever a move happens in India, Indian government, they want to, you know, finish the identity of Muslim University of Aligarh. Then, you know, it is minority university, they want to finish. Then all the ulama in India, Deoband, Nadwa, all come together supporting, no, it must be Muslim Islamic identity. Though actually, if you go to Nadwa and Deoband, they are the one who say Sir Syed Ahmad Khan was kafir, and Aligarh University is the one who actually, you know, is source of so many, even Muslim society. In all the thing, Maulana Maududi has been big writing that all the tajaddud and all the modernity in Islam came through Aligarh, source of all evil. But even followers of Jamaat Islami, if all of them support Aligarh Muslim University. Why? Because it is part of their identity. In Muslim identity in India. Taj Mahal is a wrong thing, no doubt. Taj Mahal is just a grave. Does Islam allow you to build a grave and spend millions of pounds to build a grave? But if any Hindu party will say we want to demolish Taj Mahal, all Muslims in India will support no, Taj Mahal must stay and this thing and that thing. This is what happened. Not Iman. It is Aqidah. This is what happened. So don't mix. I mean, inshallah, I'm going to explain this a little bit more. But if you have any question, please ask.
Any questions?
Ahsanallahu alaykum, Sheikh. What you said, Jazakumullah khair, is very clear. I was just going to ask if you could clarify or add a comment on the following point. Is it theoretically possible, however, that in some circumstances, a person who is not aware of what you're saying, and they have aqidah, that it helps them stay within the community of believers?
Yeah, no doubt. Society always helpful. You know, when people live in a certain society, certain group, even if they're not very pious people, because associating with a good group, it some good things will come. But the problem really is every group thinks they're good. So those who become good, that's fine. But we don't know really. That's the problem. That thing, if you don't think what happens is, if you, any good comes to you, it comes because of belonging, not because of knowing, because of understanding, thinking. You just follow group. You think, no, my group must be right. You know, this is what happened. That's why you can see very easily these people can be deviated. People who follow group very easily can be deviated. And you can see really, sometimes they know their group is wrong, but still they have no courage to declare that they are wrong. This keep happening all the time. So that's why believers should not be content with that. We should really teach people Iman, not Aqeedah. Because when you teach Aqeedah, you keep actually supporting the group existence. This should be finished really. This culture should finish from Muslim world. We should come back to Iman. Inshallah, one day, you know, I don't know, I have so many projects, but one day actually, you know, I wrote my 5 books. You know, Mabadi fi Nahw, Mabadi fi Sarf, you know. So one, somebody at the same time said to me, write also on Aqeedah. So it become complete. So I said, but my thinking, even that time, I think my thinking about Aqeedah is so different, nobody going to read it, and people are going to. So then it came to my mind, instead of writing Aqeedah, I'm going to write, inshallah, Kitabul Iman, what Iman means. Not Aqeedah, but, you know, what Iman means, to make it very clear for, you know, connecting with the fitrah, with the thinking, you know, and how the Quran, how noble Iman is really. Aqeedah, to me, is really weakest thing on the face of the earth. Iman is the monarchy. Iman is much stronger thing than the, you know, even mountains. People can take your skin from you. People can kill you in piece and pieces, but they can't weaken your Iman. Actually, Iman keep increasing. That's how Iman is. When your interests become in danger, people leave Aqeedah. Aqeedah is so weak. If you are, the reason you have Aqeedah because you have some interest with the group. But if your interests are in danger, you leave the group. They have, but Iman, no. People can take you from your body, they can put you in the prison, they can kill you, but they can't take you from Iman. Iman, you love it, enjoy it. It is such a taste, really, people cannot imagine. It is different, completely different matter.
And the only other thing Sheikh is going to ask is, you mentioned, and you said it, I think, again here, that there's no paradise without thinking.
Yeah.
I was just going to ask Sheikh, for example, you have some, you know, teenagers, 18, 19, or even older than that, and they just think to themselves, you know, they're brought up in a Muslim sort of environment, and it makes sense to them, as in there's no, it's nothing like A'udhu Billah, the Trinity, that troubles them, and they just remain on that path. Is that, where is that in terms of, is that still admissible to paradise, for example?
You know, thing really, the Iman is thinking, result of thinking. If people don't think, they don't have Iman, but actually the problem really is, we don't know Iman, it's Allah, only Allah knows. So in the day of judgment, there could be people who have Iman, but we did not know. So the prophets, messengers, angels, they will recommend them to go to paradise. Some people's Iman is so weak and so hidden, even angels and prophets cannot find it. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take, you know, people from hellfire, one handful. Or Allah's handful, we don't know, the last people. So Iman also can be very weak. But Iman cannot be without thinking. So thinking can be weak. Some people think it's much stronger, but people need to think. You know, Allah, the reason Allah, that why there is no taklif on mad people. Somebody is mad, there is no taklif. Because thinking is the one which make you to distinguish from right thing. Quran says, لَمْ يَخِرُّ عَلَيْهَا صُمَّ وَعْمِيَانَ. Believers don't fall on some certain way, deaf, like deaf and blind people. No, they know really what. Like all these slogans in Muslim world. Like, you know, this actually also helped me to understand more. In India now, all Muslims are making so much cry against rape. You know, some women have been raped, some young girl, Muslim. And now people are making such a big thing, really. Just think what is happening. It is just group problem. Because how can Hindu rape Muslim women? Or, but this same thing happened in Pakistan so many times by Muslim are raped by Muslim. Nobody. In the front of the court, you know, a woman raped and then she was killed. Indian Muslims had no problem with that. They never actually even wanted to discuss that. Now everybody, this Hindu, Muslims themselves do this thing so many often, nothing happened. And just think really how much hypocrisy is there. You know, when somebody is raped, I have no sympathy with these people, but at least the person who has been raped, she is Muslim, so she is going to paradise. When people do zina willingly, two people, are they going to paradise? Both are sinful. There is no sin in Islam worse than zina. these all Indian Muslims, they have not, they never actually come out to reject zina. Only thing you reject is rape, but not zina, because you basically only want to follow other people's agenda. Other people say rape is evil, you go. But your religion, more than that, is zina. If men and women do willingly relation without marriage, then Indian government has no problem, Hindus have no problem, most of us have no problem. Islam still has a problem. It is worse punishment. If they're married, it's rajm, what's punishment? You come for rape, but you don't come for zina. And you know, isn't it actually, is iman? That's why I'm saying it's aqidah. It is best just belonging. And also rape by Hindu, if rape done by Muslim, nothing will happen. You know, the reason why Muslims are so upset when French government, you know, banned the iskaf, because they're French. How they can dare to interfere? But if you go to Pakistan, millions of women don't have any hijab scarf. Nothing happens to us. Any Muslim world, nothing. Because we don't, because we, then our nationality is not threatened. But French people do. How can they do? You know, so this Allah never likes something like that. This all hypocrisy that I'm trying to, we don't believe in hijab. We don't believe that women should cover the head. And it is a big reward. My own daughters and my own sister don't do this thing. But how can French interfere? It basically hurting my nationality. My nationalism, my identity, I can. This all aqidah business. And people think, you know, they protest and march, they think, you know, they're Muslim and they become shaheed. There's no shahada in this matter. If you really believe in this thing, first thing is teach your own sisters and daughters and your own country that people behave properly and yourself really. But we don't believe in these things. It all identity. Most of protests and march Muslims are doing, it all identity problem. Belonging, nothing to do with Allah's messenger. Actually, sometimes what happens is, if I'm a Deobandi, you criticize Deobandi Alim. I'll write against you and fighting and all those things. But if you write against Allah, I don't care. You write against Messenger, I don't care. Because that's not my identity, that's a concern of every Muslim. My identity is my small identity. If you criticize the Prophet, then all the groups should come to, why only me? Prophet is not only mine. You know what happened in Aligarh, somebody wrote something against Prophet. Then all the people became very agitated at Aligarh Muslim University. So people said, but in this same university, you have many, many Muslims who are atheists, don't, you know, believe in Allah. So you don't become angry. And now somebody denies Prophet Muhammad, you are so angry. Insult to Allah does not make any sense, anything to you, but you become moved for, but people say, Jesus Christ, son of God, you don't care. But somebody insult Prophet Muhammad, you become so much agitated. Do you know what the answer was? Allah is everyone's, but Muhammad is ours. This is the answer. Muhammad belongs to us, so nobody can insult someone who belongs to us. But Allah is everyone's. This is the answer. This answer tells you that how we really are. And we think we are believers. If people love the Prophet Muhammad, it does not necessarily mean they have iman. It just basically, Prophet Muhammad has become our national identity. Not that we believe in his messenger. It is just our identity, belonging. You know, keep making things properly. When iman comes, what will happen is what Bukhari says. When iman comes, paradise will be dearer to your heart. Throwing in the hellfire becomes actually either bad fire, you like a real fire. You know, kufr becomes either hatred. Iman comes, this all happen. But this, when you read about Iman Bukhari, it doesn't, we don't have any of those things. That simply means we don't have iman. What we have got aqidah, not iman. When iman comes, exactly happen what Bukhari is trying to say. You know, what he said really, exactly he understand what iman means. You know, and the iman that we think iman is just aqidah, not iman. That's why our aqidah does not lead to any of these things. Our aqidah can lead us to be killed, to protest and march, but it can't make us pious. Iman makes people pious. Iman changes your world.
Jazakallah, Sheikh. You know, you said the thinking, iman springs out from thinking, isn't it? Yeah? Mm. And I think we shouldn't assume like proper thinking. And even like, you know, this akidas, the way we're looking at, so these are the results of distortion in thinkings. You know, if we think naturally, then obviously we wouldn't just deviate from iman. You know, iman, if we think properly, jazakallah, yeah, then iman, you know, should be the ultimate result. So akidah is a part of the distortion in thinking. And Alhamdulillah, you know, I'm still reading that book that's written by David Burns, The Feeling Good. And here, like, you know, he's mentioning all the different distortions in thinking, like, you know, how you're not thinking correctly.
So first of all, I think we need to address this issue, like what is the correct thinking is. And then you see when you has come to the Iman, alhamdulillah, you know, and Quran and Hadith, which is the ultimate source of guidance. In my personal experience, like, you know, we do, this term, we didn't describe it, so it's very extract terms and doesn't, like, it's just ideas, you know. It doesn't result in something like practical, like the application is not there. For example, if you tell me do sabr and, you know, be right and all those things, so these are just like, you know, you're throwing these ideas at me, and how to put it into practice, I don't see this thing. So whereas, like, you know, and the book I'm referring to, like, you know, Feeling Good by David Burns, so whatever concept he's bringing there, so he is giving you like a practical application, how to put it there. So personally, I think, like, you know, the and modern psychology and, you know, with this thing, so they have really done lots of work there, and I don't see any reason, like, you know, why we cannot benefit from these things. And in fact, like, you know, if we take the ideas and we can refine their arguments, so they just do their arguments purely on human knowledge. So we got divine knowledge there, and if we just apply the divine knowledge there, we can really enhance their arguments. And maybe this is something, like, you know, you write, you're planning to write your books, so I think it will be a good start for your books. Yeah.
You know, the thing really is, if you look in this universe and yourself really, every single that Allah made is ayah. Ayah means it leads to Allah. That what thinking means. Thinking means to understand the connections properly. What some scientists do, they take one thing in isolation without following all the connections. And they do research on that, they're lost in that. Fine, they get something, but they don't get the truth properly. You need to keep following one link to the other, second, third, until you reach to the truth as it is properly. And Allah SWT make this connection very clearly. Nothing in this universe, nothing in your body supports a kufr. Every single thing, like, you know, I mentioned, like, you know, when you find anything manufactured, you know, sold in the market, if you follow the leads, you will know America has made this, or Russians have made, or Japan has made. If you keep following, you can reach to the end. But most people are not interested. They just want to, you know, enjoy. So Allah SWT wants to test people. Why don't you use your mind really? You know, think really. Why just you want to, you know, believers and believers, they have no problem in creation. They all know the creation, you know, a good and interesting enjoyment and this and that. The only thing is believers make effort to find where they come from. Lead. This lead is never confused. Allah SWT never made any confusion in the leads. If people actually use their mind properly, it leads them nowhere other than Allah SWT. It is so clear. So right thinking, actually I wrote an article on this, anyway, maybe you missed it. You know, I wrote properly what right thinking. Right thinking basically is to make your nature and the creation in real harmony, to find the harmony. When you find the harmony, that's right thinking is. For example, when you grow a plant, if you want to grow it properly, you have to know its nature. How much water, how much air, and this and that. When you make this in harmony, it will grow properly. But when people don't want to understand the nature and all those things, they can corrupt. Like, for example, you know, like how my body can function properly, I have to understand the nature. But no, culture is so dominant. I eat this food, that Indian food, and this dish, that dish. So I can ruin my health because of the. I don't want to understand. If people want to make up effort to understand their nature, it's not difficult. But people don't want to do this. Culture is so dominant. So first thing really, the people need to get themselves free from the culture, from all the belonging. Let's think really. I am in this universe and this air. Let me think freshly. What things make sense? Once you start that, Allah will help you. But most people don't do this. Most people, what they do research in order to find support for their culture. So I'll make effort really to find support that onion is very good for the health, because Indian people love onion. If this thing, you will find something which support onion. But if you think, no, I am not party of onion. I just want to know what is good for the health. Then maybe you find something else. Proverb really, like say madahib, I am a Deobandi, I am a Hanafi. My intention is to find from the Quran Sunnah what supports my madhab. Then I never can find the truth. The way, you know, leave all those things. Let me see what Allah wants to teach me, what Quran wants to, Sunnah wants to teach me. Let's think what makes sense to my mind. Mind is very powerful. People think, if you think, you can miss. No, if you think properly, you'll be guided. Thinking has no way to lead except to guidance. That was thinking, that was reason, that really. The most important the reason, function of the reason is to guide you. Reason is actually very helpful for guidance. Reason tells you, the reason people are not following the truth is because they're corrupt. But reason always tells them, this is what you should do. But I said, no, I don't like this thing. No, I just want to my way. You know, smoking, reason says smoking is bad. I said, no, I don't care. I keep smoking. So, because people don't listen to reason. If you listen to reason, in all the philosophers, they don't listen to the reason. They listen to the culture. Indian people, big philosophers, the great thinkers, they go to temple and they bow to idols. It does not make any sense. They do because part of the culture. You know, kufr and shirk have no reasoning at all. You know, that's why Allah SWT angry with the people, that I gave you ability, you don't use it. What makes you to do shirk? What makes you to do kufr? It is so obvious it is wrong. You know, if you have any thinking, that's why, you know, Allah SWT has so much anger with these people, and their hellfire is forever for them because they did not use properly. So in this actually, the culture has no thinking. You see, there you can see again actually, culture, aqidah have no thinking. There is no thinking really with the right or wrong. It all belonging. In belonging, you don't think. Iman only comes from thinking. Result of thinking, knowing the nature properly, and then developing right thinking on the basis of that, then respond to that thinking. Don't deny that. If you deny it, it becomes kufr. It could be possible that like Iblis. Iblis knew who the Lord is. He has no problem with the Tawhid Rububiyya. You know, there's no Tawhid better than Iblis. Iblis exactly knows Allah is the doer, everything. But his problem is Tawhid Uluhiyya. He does not obey Allah. Akfarul Kafirin. So that I tell to people, the Tawhid that Mutakallimin teach you, that they prove Allah Rabb exists, Sufi, that Tawhid already Shaitan has got. Tawhid of the Sufi people, the Tawhid of the Mutakallimin, Shaitan already has got. You want to prove God exists? Shaitan already knows God exists, and he addresses him. But the problem is not that. Problem is Tawhid al-Uluhiyya. He does not obey him. You know, Iman is not Tawhid al-Rububiyya. Iman is not that prove that God exists. Mutakallimin is, at first they don't prove anything anyway. You know, I have all this problem. But if you prove really, what you prove is, Shaitan has got that. And is there any kafir worse than Shaitan? So after all Kalam and Sufi, tasawuf, still you can remain kafir. You know, what Quran teaches is something completely different really. Tawhid Rububiyya is only an argument. Quran never asks people to believe that God is creator. That argument of the Quran. Quran wants you to obey him. That why the kalima of Quran is not La Rabba illallah. It is La ilaha illallah. Ay La Ma'buda illallah. Ubudiyya, Ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's nothing more noble than that. Iman and Ibadah, they're both connected. There's nothing more noble in this whole universe than obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then doing sajda to him, then pleasing him, then purifying your heart for him. You know, Allah in your mind and heart. There's nothing more noble than that. So that inshallah will come next.
Yeah, let's continue.
Sorry, okay. So continue, okay. So, you know, the first thing actually I made clear to you, the difference between Iman and Aqidah. And I think, or maybe if you want to know just few differences, it can help you. Iman is in response to your nature. Aqidah never looks into the nature. Aqidah never looks at, I have this Aqidah because it is my nature. There's no connection between Aqidah and nature. Iman always rises from the nature. So first identity is understand. Then Iman is supported by reason. Aqidah nothing to do with reasoning. Actually reasoning could be against Aqidah. But still you don't follow reasoning because you belong to a group. So you can see Iman is based on the nature. Iman is supported by the reason. Aqidah does not have anything. Like all the cultures. Cultures never think. People do many things, not because they think, because they follow. Aqidah comes by following. In Iman, your accountability is to your Lord. In Aqidah, your accountability to your group. Group matters to you. You think what my group will say, what they will say, I will. In Iman, you don't think about the group. You think just because, you know, truth. Truth is more important for you than anything else. When Iman comes, then after that, amal becomes necessary. It's impossible that you say, if you follow this process and you believe that God must be obeyed and worshipped, and then you don't worship him. It's impossible. It never can happen. The connection between Iman and amal is so deep and so strong, nobody can deny. It really makes you, people can't say, don't do this. It's impossible. It never can happen because you believe in this thing. It basically, for example, you know, when people have, you know, got married, and for example, if you know you have good food and you think it's good for your health and all those things, you buy it, then it's impossible that you're not going to eat it. It will happen. That's how the whole purpose of buying it anyway. That the whole reason that you spend money, why did you do all research to find out the food? You did all the research, all the funding, all the money spent, and then you bought it to decorate the house? Impossible. You know, you have iman, and what you have done actually, you have got many posters in your house, five pillars, and this pillar, and zakat, important, Quranic decoration, but you don't pray, don't fast. It's not iman. It is something else. You are confused. It is just an identity. When iman comes, amal must come. That whole purpose actually is because worship of Allah is your virtue. Human being has no virtue other than ibadah. We have no virtue. Everything else is not virtue, it is related to virtue. But virtue is only, knowledge has no virtue if it does not lead to ibadah. Iman is not iman if it does not make ibadah necessary. The virtue of the human being, Allah is because he is ma'bud. People's virtue is they are abid. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ If iman does not lead you to ibadah, then something wrong with iman. Either it is too weak really, or you did not make the whole process properly. It could have come just as it belonged. The Quran says, قَالَتَ الْأَعْرَابُ آمَنَّ قُلْ لَمْ تُؤْمِنُوا وَلَكِنْ قُولُوا أَسْلَمْنَا Because that was belonging. You just belong to a group, and group became Muslim, you also became Muslim. You're part of the tribe. You never thought about things like that. Iman must lead to the amal. That's what Islam means really. So once I know that Allah is my Lord and I must thank Him, then it becomes obligatory, I must surrender to Him. Full submission, He says and I don't do. The whole body is His slave. My mind is slave. All benefits that I get in this world is from Him. And the heart actually comes in from Him. He is the one. Then I don't listen to Him, I don't surrender to Him. It does not make any sense. A child actually has more sin than me. He surrendered to his mother. And I don't surrender to my Lord. You know, who is Samad for me? Just understand what Samad means. Samad basically means like I'm speaking. Speaking cannot happen without him. That Samad means. I rely in my speak on him. My mind think, but mind cannot think. Mind has nothing to do with thinking. Thinking because it rely on supports come from there. Allah makes it to think. You know, nothing can move actually. Hands cannot move. It is from him. The will cannot come unless he makes the will. That he said, هُمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهِ If he does not will anything, nothing can happen. It's all his will, his command, that work, this universe works with him. Once you know this thing, it's impossible to don't surrender to him. Don't worship him, don't obey him. This is Islam that you think and discuss and, you know, lie on the bed and you write a book on Aqidah and all those. It's not iman. Laziness. You know, anybody can do it, it's just belonging. Iman cannot make you to sleep really. Iman, when iman comes, like the Prophet ﷺ, they can't actually hide the truth. It's impossible. Iman came to Umar al-Khattab. Now that he can't just remain quiet. He has to declare it. Iman came to Abu al-Ghifar. He has to declare. Iman actually makes a declaration. Iman can't be hidden. You know, iman is very powerful. That's why Imam Bukhari has all this, you know, when he says Yazid and Qusso, when he said, you know, iman is amal, and he brings all the hadith. People think really Imam Bukhari simply wants to refute certain groups, and that's why I don't like all these commentaries really. Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, all these people, they keep for every single chapter they'll say, in this chapter he refutes this group. In this chapter, maybe that also can matter. But first of all, that really he wants to tell you what iman means really. First purpose to teach you proper thing. Secondary purpose also, it also refutes certain groups because they're wrong. But the first purpose is to tell you what right thing is. Now the next question is, so how people like Abu Hanifa and Malik and all these big people, they can go wrong? They never went wrong really. People misunderstood Abu Hanifa rahimahullah ta'ala. He never wanted to provide any substitute for Quran Sunnah. If you want to learn Iman Islam, just learn the Quran Sunnah. Imam Abu Hanifa is not going to teach you what is obvious. He just want to teach you certain things where confusion can happen. Confusion basically is that since Iman is not known, it can never be seen. In my society, who I treat as a Muslim? There are certain obligations on me towards Muslims, certain obligations towards non-Muslims, Christians and Jews. Who I think is Muslim, who I think is Christian Jew? Do I know Iman Islam? I don't. Abu Hanifa wants to help you for this purpose. So Abu Hanifa said, those who say Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa Ashhadu Muhammad Rasulullah, declare Shahada, treat them as Muslim. Allah knows the Iman, we don't know really. Anybody who says I'm Muslim, treat them. But if he says Muslim, but he actually deny many of these obvious things, certainly he's just lying. So there are certain obvious identity Abu Hanifa will associate with Iman. And if people don't have, they are not. He wants to teach you how to run a society, how to run a state. He's not going to give paradise. The Iman and Islam, that Quran and Sunnah teaching, Iman and Islam are paradise, by which you get paradise. The Iman and Islam that Abu Hanifa was teaching is the Iman and Islam on basis of which you deal with the people. It's a different teaching. Abu Hanifa never meant to provide substitute for that. Now you bring Abu Hanifa comparing with the Bukhari, useless matter really. Because Bukhari discussed something else, Abu Hanifa also discussed something else. This was people have misunderstood properly. Abu Hanifa Rahmatullah is one of the big believer. You know, you see how much he prays. Piety for Allah, no, never backbiting, truth, you know, night prayer and all this. This Iman come from Iman, not come from the group identity. But he's, you know, he wants to help believers that in this society, how you run a society, who you behave, you know, treat as a believer. He discusses something else. And now you bring him, you know, comparing with Bukhari, Rahmatullah. Bukhari says something else, Abu Hanifa is doing something else. There's no difference between both of them. Both are exactly the same thing. They're discussing two different points. Abu Bukhari wants to teach you real Iman. Abu Hanifa wants to teach you those things on which you, on basis of which you can distinguish between Muslim and non-Muslim in the society. He wants to teach you society Iman. Iman is belonging basically. Abu Hanifa is teaching you Iman of belonging. And Bukhari is teaching you the real Iman. So don't be confused between these two matters. That why I never think really Bukhari ever has refuted Abu Hanifa rahmatullah ta'ala. And one good argument for that is that Imam Ibn Abi Shaybah rahmatullah, Abu Bakr Ibn Shaybah, he wrote Al-Musannaf. And in the Musannaf he had one whole book, Kitab al-Rad ala Abi Hanifa, book of refutation of Abu Hanifa, big muhaddith. So he brings all those hadith which is against Hanafi madhab. But again, to make very clear, these are the things where Abu Hanifa has not got wrong, got their hadith. How many issues are there? 120. 120 issues where Ibn Abi Shaybah think Abu Hanifa has left hadith, rahimahullah ta'ala. You know, that's what he think, but not necessarily all he's right, because for at least 60 of them, we think really Abu Hanifa's arguments are Quran. And for, you know, an hour, you know, 40 or something like that, he has another hadith, you have another hadith, so there could be around 20 or 30 things where if one thinks more objectively, Abu Hanifa could have done mistake. That's fine. If somebody has, you know, discussed 80,000 issues, and in 20 issues he goes against hadith, what a big thing really. Who did not, you know, do mistake? Abu Hanifa, Malik, Shafi, number more than that. So that's not a big thing. But what I'm trying to say is, among 120 issues, none of them are from Kitab al-Iman. If Ibn Shaybah had to refute Abu Hanifa, the first thing to start is Kitab al-Iman. If Abu Hanifa's Iman different from Iman of Muhaddithin and Fuqaha, Muhaddithin, and from Hadith, the first thing to refute Abu Hanifa is Kitab al-Iman. But Ibn Shaybah never mentioned any Hadith against Abu Hanifa in Iman. All the things are from Amal, nothing from Iman. And he is a student of the students of Abu Hanifa, from the same city of Kufa. He knows Abu Hanifa more than anybody else. If he did not find any problem in Abu Hanifa's Iman, and he never feels any need to reject him, then certainly it is made up thing. At least up to that time, Abu Hanifa's Iman was not different from our Iman. They knew really the same Iman. He refused Abu Hanifa on other matters, but not on Iman. So this thing is wrong really. And the reason I'm spending so much time is because you people are not aware of Indian culture. Indian culture of Bukhari teaching is few days to compare between Abu Hanifa and Bukhari, and then refute Abu Bukhari. And if you read the commentary, that's what happened. One of my teachers, Mawlana Ahmad Khan Bijnouri, who is a student of Mawlana Rasha Kashmir Bihai Sanat, he wrote commentary on Sahih Bukhari. So the beginning of many, many pages are just against Bukhari. Writing a commentary on a book which you don't like, you're writing a commentary. Because he assumes that Bukhari is the enemy of Abu Hanifa. It's the assumption that he made him to, you know, go deep and deep in criticizing Bukhari. They're two different matters really. Bukhari is saying something else, Imam Abu Hanifa is saying something else. Is it clear to everybody? The first thing I spent so much time to make very clear to you is difference between Iman and Aqidah. They are two different things. Iman never can come together with Kufr and Nifaq. Aqidah can be. People can have Aqidah of Ahl Sunnah Jama'ah, but they could be Kafir. People could have Aqidah, but they could be Munafiq. Aqidah and Nifaq can come together. Aqidah and Kufr, it can come together. But Iman never can come with Kufr and Shirk and any nifaq. It's impossible. It is possible to have aqeedah, but no amal. Actually, amal goes against aqeedah. You can see in this matter, I'm telling people, what difference between Salafi or Ashari people is. In real life, both cheat. In real life, both, you know, both lie. I was in Bombay once for a while, and I had a Salafi friend, Al-Hadith. you know, very good of my friend. You know, he, because we discussed many things together. I used to pray with him in Al Hadith Mosque and this. So one day he said to me, "Why don't you write a book, you know, against this Hanafi culture? They don't pray behind, they don't read Fatiha behind the Imam and this and that. Write book." So I answered him wisely, but I'll tell you what happened. In real life, he used to cheat, lie. His business was based on cheating. Cheating and all those things. He did not find any problem with cheating. All problem is in not reading Fatiha behind the Imam. This is a big problem for him. Because the identity, this identity is that, you know, you must read Fatiha, because how can we pray without Fatiha? And Hanafi identity, you don't read it. So discussion about identity in real life, he was also, does all the business, his business was exactly same like as anybody else does. He did not feel any need. Though actually cheating is a much more sinful act than, you know, not doing Fatiha. But people don't understand. Okay. People don't understand really that this is not Iman. This is not. So then I'm trying to say Aqidah can be there, but it could be that you lie, you cheat, you do fist, you don't pray, you don't fast, you do zina. Every single thing. Aqidah can be combined with zina, with all those things. But when Iman comes really, it is very difficult for a believer to do all that. The hadith said, La yazni zani, heena yazni, wa huwa mu'min. You could be Hanafi when doing zina. You could be Shafi, you could be Ashari, anything. But you can't be mu'min. La yazni zani, heena yazni, wa huwa mu'min. Because, you know, it is referring to the same. This, when Iman comes, you see Allah. You know, you see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it cannot make you to do commit a sin. You can't cannot disobey him. You know, ma'asiyah and Iman can't come together. And, you know, when Iman becomes stronger, that's how it happens. So always understand, Amal actually is a necessary part of Iman. Iman must lead to Amal. Or you can say Islam is necessarily result of Iman. If there's no Iman, there's no Islam. And there's no Islam, it means there's no Iman. That's how you know each other. You know Iman from Islam, and you know from Islam from Iman. But both are so much connected. Like Ibrahim al-Islam. You know, Iman is there, come there. Then Allah says to him, slaughter your son. He's there. No dealing. But Jews, when Allah commanded them to slaughter a cow, did they could do? No discussion. Because they had Aqidah. They did not have Iman. If they had Iman, their father had been commanded to sacrifice his own son. Did he hesitate? Did he ask a question about, my Lord, which time of the year, which month, morning or evening, and which knife? No question. When Jews are asked to slaughter a cow, not a son, just a cow. Oh, so many questions. First, they think it is a joke. Huzuwa, attatakhidun huzuwa. Then when Musa said, no, it is a serious matter. Then what is the color of the cow? What is the, you know, gender, male, female, and this and that? You know, fadabahuha wa ma kadu fa'alu. But Ibrahim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I asked him in the dream, not even revelation, just a dream. But in the morning, he said to his son, you know, I have been commanded to slaughter you. And then he'll take his son, Falamma Aslama, Watallahu lil Jabin. You see? This is what Islam is really. When this Islam is a result of Iman, that one is Aqidah. Aqidah makes you coward. Aqidah makes you lazy. Aqidah makes you basically stupid. Because you don't think. Iman makes you clever. Iman makes you active. You know, Iman makes you to do all sacrifices. Iman is most noble thing you can think really. Iman is nobility. Aqidah is not nobility. Good, any aqidah is not noble, but Iman is noble. Okay, I stop it here, and I think really I've done enough. But as I mentioned, Iman is thinking, so go and think. Because not necessarily what all the points that I made really becomes clear, but it will become clear inshallah if we start thinking. But if you have any questions, please ask.
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. Got a question. Okay, I have to get up and pray. I make the choice to come to the class to learn, to make the change. But isn't it all the will of Allah that He gives me the knowledge and the will to change, even though I have to do all the actions, right? And of course I have to have the Iman to do that. But again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Ibrahim alayhi salam that thought to change and anybody else.
You know, this is a very different question, actually, it's become long, but the simple matter really is that I have not to anyway. Every single thing in this world that's happening is will of Allah. There's no two will. It's the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So first thing, that's why believers always trust in Him. You know, وَعَلَى اللَّهِ يَتَوَكَّلُوا مُتَوَكِّلُونَ أَوْ مُؤْمِنُوا وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَتَوَكَّلُوا مُؤْمِنُونَ وَتَوَكَّلُوا عَلَيْهِ إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. Believers always trust in Him. That's why for every single thing, don't relate to yourself, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. because it is his will that makes it happen. But certainly there is will in you as well. And you know, and Allah SWT wants to see that you move. So he wants to see that you do your best, then he helps you. So you ask him, oh Allah, I want to pray, help me. Then he wants to see your mood, move, that you get up, you do wudu, then it will happen. It will happen. You know, he wants to see that how much, you know, I already have given certain ability, I want you to use them, then next level I will do. What you can't do, I will help you there. But at least do what I already have enabled you. So he enabled us, he wants to use those things. You know, he gave me eye, I want, you know, walk somewhere. So I, it's not a right actually to close eye and say, oh Allah, guide me. No, first do what he has given you. Use your eye, ask people, you know, I want to go to this direction. It's, do whatever that you can do, and then trust in him, Allah will help you. But you don't use what he already given, he's not going to guide you. He gave us Quran, he gave us messenger, he gave you reasoning, he gave all those things. Use them, he'll help you. But trust in him. You know, always say, oh Allah, I'm using this thing, but I don't trust in myself, I trust in you. You are, that Allah loves. That why dua is always important. Always there should be, believers should have dua and ibadah. Ask him and obey him, worship him. And ibadah actually is not only obedience, people should understand already. Ibadah is more than that, it's worship. Worship, you know, when you love someone, you love. But sometimes people say, oh, do you worship him? The worship is more than a love. It's really like, you know, bond to him, humiliation in front of him. That's what a worship means. People must humiliate themselves in front of their Lord. Full humility, extreme humility. You don't feel any ghairah. When you bow, you do sajda in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it should come to your mind really, it is biggest honor for me. When that happens, that's ibadah. But if you are forced to do sajda, then not ibadah. Ibadah should come willingly. So everything is connected to Allah's will anyway. There's no doubt about that. Allah's will is the real will. As I mentioned, this universe, there's no will other than Allah's will. Yeah.
Yes, Sheikh, you know, yes, there are some the issues you discussed, there are real issues, but I just got a feeling maybe we are just overgeneralizing or maybe magnifying those issues, you know. So even when we look at the like different sects, you know, so even they define Aqeedah, so the ultimate result is, you know, obviously they're just trying to bring you to Iman. So yes, there are some issues, but maybe we are just overgeneralizing it, you know.
No, no, if people are this kind of Aqeedah Iman, that's Amir Iman. I have to say what Aqeedah means. But it could be possible that people write a book of Aqeedah and they combine between both aspects. But generally what Aqeedah Kalam happens is it's all about, you know, this group identity. Or very often what they do really is prove that Allah is Rabb. That they prove Allah's existence. So that's not Iman. That I'm trying to say, this Rububiyyah business, that a lot of the part of Kalam is Rububiyyah. This thing really that, you know, Ibadah and all this obedience, you know, if people discuss that, yeah, that's good. But generally that's not what Aqeedah means. Aqeedah always means belonging.
Sheikh, one of the reasons people sometimes support Aqeedah is they make the point that Aqeedah is teaching people what to believe about Allah so that they don't get corrupted by the traditional argument is corrupted by, you know, what the Ash'aris are. Say if you're a Salafi, you teach Aqeedah because you don't want them to get corrupted because you actually believe that some of the other views about Allah are wrong and they'll corrupt your mind. Or in a modern context, you might say, so you don't get influenced by atheism or something else. So you have to have the correct tasawwur, correct understanding of Allah, so you don't get easily deviated. And okay, they'll admit that, yeah, true Iman is everything that you are saying and so forth, and you have to do this and this piety and so on. But you also need a set of theoretical principles so your mind doesn't get distorted to think wrong things about Allah, for instance.
But each group says the same thing. Each group is...
Yeah, they say that, but
at the end of the day, that what happened, then basically it will remain like that. I'm just trying to say, really, Iman is such a basic thing, really. Isn't enough for the people's mind and Quran to get it? Why we need somebody else's interpretation? Why people cannot do themselves? You know, if Allah said, you know, not everybody can get Iman, you need somebody's help, then I understand, really. But Allah made everybody independent. This is basic thing everybody can get. It is just that they don't use their ability properly. It even a person in desert, then nobody is there, Imam Abu Hanifa says, still he has to be mu'min. He's in, you know, that this la ilaha illa business actually nothing to do with it. Your thinking will lead you. When you make rely on the people, what happens is, then don't use it, then basically you say what he says. You never think. And I'm trying to say, no, don't do this thing. Think. think for yourself properly. You know, understand. You know what exactly. You know, when you think, your iman becomes so frustrated. When you just think it, that where I'm coming from, who I am, how Allah does. This iman is different from iman of aqidah.
So do you think, Shaykh, rather than being so scared about people,
no, don't be scared.
Thing,
you know,
we should actually open up to people.
Tell people, reasoning always lead people to good things. Reasoning never can lead to deviation. It is people's teaching can deviate people. Reasoning is always good thing, always helpful. If people understand their nature and they use reasoning and sincerity and ask Allah to help, they always will be guided. And Allah guides people. When people make effort as best, when people, you think in other people's terms, you actually become then you follow them. And every aqidah is human interpretation. We don't want to make, you know, our iman subject to human interpretation. You know, it is such a pure thing, really. Sometimes words cannot help you. You know, the knowledge that prophets get, they know about Allah so much, they can't teach you. You have to develop those knowledge by your own experience, by your ibadah. When you do more ibadah, you can the many things come to your mind about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which if you want to tell, people can't tell. Because those are different, words are not made for that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you knowledge which you cannot convey to the people. It comes to you, and everybody who makes the same effort, they also get the same knowledge. What Abubakar knew about the Prophet, about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he can't teach you. If you want to get the same thing, you have to follow the same process. You can't get it. Aqidah people, they create a barrier between you and your Lord. Allah has hand means this thing or this thing. You can remain all your life discussing barriers, curtains basically. There's a curtain between Allah. You just discuss what color the curtain is. The real thing, what behind the curtain, you never know.